We find in the beginning of the Gospels in our Bible, Matthew, with verse 1 in chapter 1, where it says, "The book of generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." We find that these terms are used throughout the scriptures in the New Testament. Jesus as the son of Abraham, Jesus as the son of David, Jesus as the son of man, and then Jesus as the son of God. When you go through and examine the scriptures and see how these particular terms and titles are used in their context and what it's dealing with, you will see the ministry of Jesus in all of the areas that he was to minister to. Normally, we are interested in the matter of salvation for our souls. We just sung a song a while ago, and that was the matter of Noel, and dealing with the hope and the ministry of Jesus with Israel. Not many Christians think about Israel today. We have lost the teaching and what God has for Israel. And when Israel and the ministry is accomplished for Israel, we will have what we call the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. But many people are confused about that because you hear very little about it. There are some denominations that dwell on it more than others. Some churches will dwell on it quite a bit, but the majority of the churches do not in this. And so tonight, I want you to look at these terms and how they're used. And I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg. I would challenge you to go and to examine the other scriptures in dealing with this. And so, first of all, I want you to look at the matter of the son of Abraham. Now, this ministry is to the Jews and the promise for the Gentiles. We are connected with Israel. Our foundation in all goes through the foundation of the Jews and the basic teachings that are there. We receive the promises that they have and that are a blessing to us and more than what they have that is there. But we need to see the ministry that Jesus came and need to come in fulfilling the ministry to the Jews. And Abraham is the one, the father, and considered the father of them all. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14. And here's talking about the matter of as Jesus is the son of Abraham, which means that the promise that God made to Abraham that he would have a great nation would be fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled. And praise God that Jesus came as the son of Abraham to give us the assurance that God keeps his word. Oh, what a blessing it is to know that God said it, that settles it. Amen? What an exciting fact. And that we can go to bank on God's word. I don't have to worry about it changing. The only thing I worry about that is man trying to change it. And that's what we're involved in today more than ever, is trying to change the word of God. And we have all kinds of reasonings and logic of why it needs to be changed. Don't listen to that. Stand in the faith of God's word and move with the power of God. Now, in Galatians 3, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. One of the blessings that Israel did not realize, and that was there, but it was mainly directed toward us, those who are not Jews, in that when Jesus would come as the son of Abraham, not only would he accomplish and assure that God is going to keep his promise to Abraham and all that follows, that promise was made to him, and that we, the Gentiles, who do not replace Israel. We, the Gentiles, who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, do not take the place of Israel. We become the body and the bride of Jesus Christ, and we have one of the greatest privileges that we could ever have. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Praise God that he came as a son of Abraham, not only to give assurance that his promises will be kept, but that we have that of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. We have John 3:16, and I like Galatians 3:16. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith, not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Jesus came to assure that God would keep his word to the Jews. That promise was made, and it will hold, and it will be accomplished. But he not only made it to Abraham, he made it to his seed. And as you go back and see how God had written the Old Testament, especially all of the conversations dealing with Abraham, as he had talked about the seed being as the stars of heaven, the grains of sand, he didn't say seeds as of many. He said seed as of one, because he was talking about Jesus. That promise was not only made to Abraham, but it was made to Jesus. And what a blessing it is to know that God's going to keep his promise to Abraham as Jesus came as a son of Abraham, and he's going to keep it to us because Jesus is a seed of Abraham. Look at Galatians 3 now and verse 28. Galatians 3 and verse 28. Let me encourage you to go back and study Galatians chapter 3 in its entirety and see all that's involved in that. But these are some of the highlights. In verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Though we realize that there is a difference between that of the Jews and the Gentiles, as far as the Old Testament is concerned, and even in the New Testament, in relation to our responsibility. The Jews were set up, the Jews were designed by God to be his elect nation to rule this world. And they will rule this world when Jesus comes back at the second coming. We're involved in that, but much greater than that. We have a different position. We have the position as the body and the bride of Christ. So praise God that Jesus came as the son of Abraham. If he did not, how could we expect him to keep a promise with us? And then we have the term Jesus as the son of David. We think, well, this is a repeat, same as that of Abraham. No, it's a little bit different involved with that. In our text that we read there in Matthew 1 and 1, it said the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. The son of Abraham, the son of David. David became one of the greatest kings in Israel's history. How that he loved God and was considered as a friend of God, one who truly loved him. But David was just like us. He made mistakes as well, but God forgave him as he would repent. But in the matter with David in Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 5, Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, in relation to David, David is being king. God had promised him that one of his descendants would reign on his throne when Israel is ruling this world. And that descendant is Jesus Christ. And in that of the promise of the coming of the Messiah, yes, as the son of David, but as the branch for Israel. In Jeremiah, unto David, days come, saith the Lord, that I will reign, king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. We've seen as we go to other teachings in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, when you go to Romans, how that Israel, as the elect nation of God, rebelled against God, and their branches was cut off from the good olive tree. They should have remained, they should have been there, but yet they rejected Jesus as the Son of God, and also as the son of David. Their branches was cut off, and Israel no longer existed. This happened many years ago, centuries ago, but the branches have not been done away with. One day, as that stalk of the tree would stand, out of the root would come a branch. And that's when Jesus came as the son of David. And then as he began to minister in that, as we see in the other titles that he has on that, we who are Gentiles in the old olive tree, we've been cut out of that tree, grafted into the good olive tree. But one day we'll be cut out of this good olive tree. That's the rapture. And the natural branches will be grafted back in because Jesus is the son of David. My, how that all of it is there together and what God is doing with Israel. And in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 9, Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 9, here we find Jesus as the son of David, realizing the importance of David and that God is not through with him, talks about how that God would raise David. Notice it in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 9. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. David had died and been buried for years, and God comes with this promise. And when Jesus came as the son of David, Israel should have rejoiced and been excited about that. But they would not receive Jesus of Nazareth as the son of David. And one day, after we're taken out at the rapture, and Israel is involved in a tribulation on this world such as never seen before, what we call the tribulation period, that'll last for 7 years. At the conclusion of that, David will be raised and Israel will see that. And they will accept David as their king, knowing that this is the time. The Messiah is coming, and they're to have their kingdom. This hymn we sung a while ago of Noel was talking about. We sung two songs tonight, and Brent and I did not get together in this. He had no idea what was being said here. I had no idea what he was going to pick out, but the Holy Spirit did. We sung two songs tonight of Christmas, dealing with Israel, not with the church, with Israel. But it went in one ear and came out the other. You looked at it, you sung the words because it was familiar, and half of you hardly realized what was just really talking about. The excitement, the hope that Israel would be the ruling nation, that promise is still true, and it will be true, and it will happen, and David will be raised. They will accept him as their king, and he will establish his throne. That's critical. Jesus came as the son of David. He's to reign on David's throne. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 24. Ezekiel 37, verse 24. In Ezekiel 37 and verse 24. And David my servant shall be. This is talking about something in the future. This is the prophecy. David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and do them. In verse 24 of Ezekiel 37, talks about how that David will be their king. We read in Jeremiah where he's been raised, and Israel receives him as their king. But verse 25, David changes his position from king to prince. Look at it now in verse 25. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. What happened? What will happen when David is their king again? And he becomes prince. When he's recognized as king, Jesus comes back to this earth and we come back with him. Oh, I wish you understood this part. When Jesus comes back, he'll fight the battle of Armageddon. And as he fights that battle, he conquers the nations of this world. He doesn't apply for the president or the ruler of the world. He takes over as the ruler. He rules with a rod of iron. He goes down to Jerusalem. He stands on the Mount of Olives. It splits. As the king now, being as he takes over the world, he's conquered the nations. He's king. He calls for the leaders of the nations in the Valley of Jehoshaphat. He judges them how they treated Israel during that tribulation period. Those that helped them goes into the thousand-year reign. Those who didn't are destroyed. When he judges them, he sits on his throne of glory. Now get that. Jesus comes back, fights the battle of Armageddon, goes south to Jerusalem. He sits on his throne of glory. Then when he finishes that, he goes to David. And David gives Jesus his throne exactly as God said it would be. And Jesus will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. We read part of this. We latch onto part of it. We do not understand all of it. But may we clear that up a little bit for you tonight. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Of the increase of his government. Well, let's back up and read verse 6. For unto us a child is born. You ever heard that? We usually read that at this time. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, David. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The only one that can sit on the throne of David is a descendant of David. Jesus is the son of David. Jesus will accept that throne and rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is that just an Old Testament saying? Look at the New Testament, Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. Here we find the conversation between Gabriel and Mary. The announcement of this one who's to come. To be born of a virgin. The task that is impossible of all tasks that could be done. For a child to be born of a virgin. And here Gabriel makes that announcement to Mary. Notice it now in Luke chapter 1 and verse 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. What was prophesied in the Old Testament, reassured in the first coming of Christ. And it will be completed at the second coming of Jesus. Oh, praise God, he keeps his word. And notice in Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22. How important is it that we approach Jesus the proper way? Now, Jesus came as the son of Abraham. He came as the son of David to deal with Israel and not with the Gentiles. Understand me carefully. He came as the son of Abraham and as the son of David to minister, to deal with Israel, God's elect nation, the wife of God. Oh, how important this is. Now we have a Gentile approaches Jesus. She knows Jesus from what the Jews have told her. And what would happen when the Messiah comes as a son of Abraham and as a son of David. And how that Israel will be set up as the ruling nation of the world. And the blessings that come with that. The healing. The comfort. Oh my. You talk about heaven on earth. From those who are saved, it will be. For the lost, it's a different story. But she wants in on that. And so she approaches the Master in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after her. She approached Jesus in that Jewish standing. As the son of David, as the son of David, he would not deal with her. It's important to realize the ministry that Jesus is dealing with and work within that ministry that is there. This ministry is with Israel. And she was not of that. And he begins to talk to her in verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As the son of David and as the son of Abraham, he was to come to Israel. As you go through the scriptures and you'll run these scriptures out and you'll see where it's used again and again as the son of David, in that he must come to the Jews first. And they would reject him, and then he goes to the Gentiles. She came asking blessings from him as dealing with the Jews. He would not talk to her. He would not deal with her. He said, no, I've come for the lost house of Israel. And then notice verse 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. She no longer approaches him as the son of David. She approaches him as Lord, which will bring us in a moment to the Son of Man. When she approached him as Lord, he could deal with her. He could deal with the Gentile, but as a Jew, she was not a Jew. And those things dealing with the Jews and with that nation and all that's involved with that, Jesus will keep the promise that was made to Abraham and to David, and that Jesus came as the son of Abraham and the son of David. And then notice in Revelation chapter 19, for Jesus to come truly as the son of Abraham and as the son of David, he must come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He did not do that the first coming. Though he was identified as the son of Abraham and as the son of David, to let the Jews know God has not forgotten them. And take heart, my brother and my sister. Take heart. God will not forget you either. Amen. He will not forget Israel. Though Israel thought that God has done away with them and would be replaced by someone else. No, never. Under no circumstances will that happen. Israel will always be, has been, always will be the elect nation of God and will be the ruling nation of the world. Jesus will come to them as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But his first coming, he came and he accepted the identification as the son of Abraham and as the son of David, that they might have assurance that he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His main purpose in coming the first time was to come as a son of man and as a son of God, to accomplish salvation for all humans from Adam to the last one on the face of this earth. But in the meantime, he must assure, and God did assure Israel, that God has not forsaken them or forgotten them. He will keep his promise. Now in Revelation 19 and verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. Jesus is not coming back and everybody's going to be dancing in the street. Jesus is coming back to judge. He's coming back to make war. Now notice the next verse, verse 12. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. When Jesus came the first time, I can see Mary as she held that form of a baby, all human and all God. And as Jesus would open his eyes, there was no flame there. As Jesus grew, and even into adulthood. As you would look into the eyes of Jesus, there was not that flame there. There was grace and love. He was willing to give his life for us. He caused the blind to see, the lame to walk. Oh my, the love that was there. But that was not for Israel. That was for us and the world. When he comes back the second time, he comes back as the son of Abraham and the son of David, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in his eyes is that flame of fire. And he'll have the crown, not of thorns, but of victory. And then he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thighs a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came the first time to die on a cross for our sins. He comes the second time, not to die, but to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Israel will be the ruling nation. How important it is that you pay attention as you read the scriptures to the term that is given to Jesus and whatever is happening, whether if it mentions the son of Abraham and the son of David, you can rest assured it's dealing with Israel. But if it talks about the son of man and the son of God, it's dealing with the world. My, what assurance we have that is there. Well, our time is gone. Not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. We'll pick up and we'll look at Jesus, the Son of Man, and Jesus, the Son of God. Let me encourage you to look these scriptures up. Be familiar with them. That God would speak to your heart and let you understand the ministries of Jesus and why things were done the way they were, and the results of that, of eternal life. Hope for Israel and life for all humans. What a blessing we have. And this came a reality when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So this time of the year, we ought to know that. And yet, it's hidden. And no one knows about it. Very little. Have not put it together, but may we understand and give praise to God. Are you worshiping Jesus, the Son of God? He's the Almighty. Will you be obedient to him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? God has spoken to your heart. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.